Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, friends, countrymen, Russians! The board op loves it when I do that. It's from a movie called The Saint. If anybody ever wants to see that, it's a really good film, and it's got Elizabeth Shue in it. She's pretty freaking hot. Speaking of pretty freaking hot, my very special guest, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. Welcome to the show again.
Wow. I am?
Well, maybe in a proverbial sense, and I don't know. I'm sure David saw something in you that was pretty freaking sexy. So
that's
but
right.
Anyway, man, that's like the most awkward start to a show I've ever had. I think.
Yeah, yeah, two kids later.
Yeah. In fact, I was talking with Freda Rex's missus, and she's got the most beautiful voice I've ever heard in my life. And it's like, Freda, man, I know why you had five kids with her now.
It's because of her mind.
Yeah, I'm right. Sure it is.
Yeah.
Now, the news today, is there anything up on OccupyCorporatism.com that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I put out an article that is going viral, and I didn't expect it to, but, you know, I titled it a certain way because this Colorado state representative said something stupid. Like, we expect these guys to say anything smart, but he said that on state universities, the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, they have decided that they don't want any guns on the campus. Okay, fine. So if you're going to be raped, you should tell your attacker that you're menstruating, puke on him, urinate on him, in order to get him to stop. These would be tactics to stop a rape.
You know, I'd just tell them that I had AIDS.
That was one of them, that you have an STD. I don't think that's going to stop anybody. Don't rape me. I'll pee on you.
Don't rape me. I have herpes.
Hold on. I'm going to puke. This is ridiculous.
Well, see, it doesn't surprise me, the level of stupidity of the American politicians. It's like George Carlin said, this is the best that American can produce.
Yes. Well, you know, there's all those chemicals in the food and the water and everything, and there's all these genetic mutations. So this is it, folks. This is all we got. These are the solutions that we have. Puke, pee, have your period, and you'll be fine. You don't need a gun.
Yeah, this guy definitely sounds like a U.S. statesman.
Yes.
He's obviously not got his wires crossed at all.
Yeah, he's obviously not been in a situation where he needed to protect himself.
I mean, you know, what's more afraid? What's more frightening to you? Blood gushing from a vaginal cavity or a 44 Magnum?
Well, since I deal with the first one every month, it's not that frightening to me. I forgot
I rest my case.
There was a comedian, and I don't remember who it was, and he said something like, I don't trust anything that bleeds for 5 days and doesn't die.
Yeah. Well, you know, who knows? With any luck, your rapist might also be a serial killer torturer who will keep you alive with blood transfusions while he tortures you for several days, and then maybe you can be trusted.
Exactly. If you're going to violate another human being in that fashion, I don't think you care whether or not they puke or pee or have an STD. I don't think that that's on your mind.
You know, he's probably just going to go back and just going like, man, I raped this girl today and it was gross, man. She peed on me. She puked on me. But I did get my rocks off, so it was all cool.
Yeah, it was okay. I worked through it.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't want to make light of this topic because it occurs to me just how many women would be offended, particularly women who've actually had an experience like this. But point of fact is John Lott, the author of More Guns, Less Crime, he says that statistically speaking, if you are going to be armed, the people that benefit from being armed the most, two groups of people. One is women, and two is black people in black neighborhoods in the United States, particularly violent black neighborhoods. Those are the ones that disproportionately benefit from possession of the use of firearms. It's because the reason for women benefiting from firearm ownership is because of the strength differential. If your assailant is typically male, he'll probably have a significant portion of percentage higher strength, which means he'll be faster and stronger than you. So any physical defense that you can put up would basically be overridden by the fact that your attacker is stronger and faster. Whereas if you pull a weapon on them, you create a distance barrier between your attacker and yourself. And that's the whole use of firearms, is to maximize the distance between you and your assailant. That's why women should be armed in cases where they might have that kind of thing happen to them. And that's the real truth of it. And for this guy to come out and say these sorts of things, you know, puke on them, piss on them. Look, bro, for frack's sake, shut up.
Yes.
I don't think you should be reelected.
Yes. Now he's on the state Senate level. You know, he's not on Capitol Hill. So I don't know if that makes a difference. But as far as our gun control laws go, I've been telling everybody to go on the local level. Fight this like you do Agenda 21. Start at the bottom and work your way up. But I see the Obama administration coming out and using their Organizing for Action, which is their propaganda machine, to lobby on the state level and get all these states to pass these laws so that, you know, maybe the federal government doesn't have to, because Congress is not going to pass anything more than maybe a universal background check, you know. So we've got these 23 executive orders. We've got these three presidential memorandums. But as far as Congress goes, they're not going to, you know, cut their nose to spite their face. So the Obama administration is going after this on the state level and getting all these states to pass these laws. Now, there was one bill that was put in, I can't remember which state. It's in that article. The article is titled Colorado Representative No Guns. Rape victims can use vomiting and urinating to protect themselves. And it's up on the front of my website, OccupyCorporatism.com. And in that article, there's a gentleman who introduced a bill, and he doesn't expect it to get it passed, but he wants anyone who passes legislation that impedes on the Second Amendment rights of the citizens, I think it's in Illinois, for that to be illegal and that to be a felony. And he said he doesn't expect it to be passed. He just wants it introduced to make a point across. So at least that guy's got his head on his shoulders, screwed on straight.
Right. You know, it just, I don't have any idea how these kind of people get into these offices where they are. They're just, it's like the place is, it's like America's a mental asylum. Except the mental patients are the ones running the asylum, and all the sane people are the ones locked inside, forced drugged.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we've got it in our water. We've got it in our food. They've got the GMO vegetables. I reported last year about a tomato that has statins actually in it. So when you eat the tomato, at least you're getting your medication. But if you don't need medication, you shouldn't be taking it. So I guess you shouldn't be eating this GMO tomato. But yeah, it goes back to what you're saying. Like, we're being forced medicated on a grand scale. And then we wonder why nobody's acting appropriately.
Well, there hasn't been anything appropriate being passed through the U.S. Congress since 1776, as far as I'm concerned.
Pretty much.
And there wasn't even a Congress back then. What does that tell you?
Well, Thomas Jefferson did get rid of the central bank, because the Federal Reserve is the third incarnation of a central bank here in the United States. And he was very proud of that. On his epitaph, I killed the bank.
Well, I do think that it's really frightening when you think about this. This morning I recorded a conversation between two radio show hosts and an acquaintance of mine, John Ansell, talking about, you know, New Zealand history and the treaty and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, what occurred to me is that they use these arguments and they more or less signify themselves by insult, or like ad hominem attack. So instead of arguing with somebody's facts, you start insulting the person to muddy the waters. And secondly, it's the you say this, you think this, this is your government, this is your parliament, this is your people, yeah, 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 you, kind of distracting from themselves. And also, on the other hand, I've had these conversations, I'm sure we all have, where you'll accuse somebody of something and they'll say, oh, you're just saying that because you're such and such and blah, 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 and they'll accuse you of something. And both of you don't know anything about each other, and then here you are telling each other who each other is when you don't know nothing of what you're talking about. Where does the conversation go? And this is how government, I think, works, really, at the end of the day, is it prevents any kind of fact or reasonable dialogue or any type of intellectual capacity from getting through. Do you know what I'm saying? Have they weeded out almost how many intelligent, let me say intelligent operatively here. So how many intelligent people are actually being elected at the moment versus how many just straight up morons with a shockingly large amount of money and a huge massive fracking agenda to screw over everybody get elected? I can imagine it's quite disproportionate.
Well, the problem is that once they get into that position, no matter what they've done to get there or what they've done in their position, you find out that they were compromised at some point in their career. I'll go back to Ron Paul. Ron Paul has done a lot of good work, except he hooked up with Peter Thiel, which is on the steering, you know, this guy's on the steering committee of the Bilderberg group. So he's the guy who decides who gets to show up at the meetings. He handpicks people, okay? Then he owns Palantir Technologies, that is like the go-to technology when we want to talk about Big Brother, the government hires Palantir Technologies. He's also on the board of directors of the Singularity Institute, which is a huge transhumanist movement. So, and he's dumping millions and millions of dollars into the Liberty Movement, into Ron Paul and Rand Paul's pockets. So then I go back and I say, okay, well, geez, 30 years of a career. What's going on here? Was this a show? Everybody has to have an opposition, right? We have to have a Tom to a Jerry, right? So this is all just Warner Brothers cartoons. This is all just, this is all fake, and it's all a show.
There's an old quote, I forget who said it, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it.
Sure.
You know, and wouldn't it be interesting if you financed your opposition just to make sure that they were in your pocket?
That's exactly what I see whenever I do research. That and I say this over and over again because I watched this this film that Bill Cooper put out about JFK getting shot, and he shows different versions, a cleaned up version, a lot of muddied versions. It's clear as day that the man was shot in the face. He didn't get killed by some guy sitting in a grassy knoll or anything, or any of the, you know, the book depository. The driver turned around, didn't turn all the way around, but put a gun over his shoulder, turned slightly, and as soon as the gun shows up, JFK's face goes flying backwards. And I think to myself, well, I thought to myself when I saw that, this is the point. They build in the conspiracy theory with everything that they do, no matter what it is, big or small, because that way they know that all the little whirling dervishes are going to go circling around that conspiracy theory and spend 30, 40, 50 years trying to figure out how it happened. Meanwhile, all these things are going on over here and nobody's paying attention because they're trying to figure out. Yes, folks, it's a false flag. Probably 99.9% of them are false flags. Okay, we get that point. What's happening because of that false flag? And that's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in what happened after Sandy Hook. You know, I'm interested in what's happening because of 9/11. Not that 9/11 happened. You know, the only people who know exactly what happened on 9/11 aren't talking. And so we have a lot of theories out
there. Here's this, Suzanne. I don't care what happened on 9/11 anymore. Yeah, and that may be shocking for people to hear, but here's why I think that. What has the 9/11 truth movement accomplished?
Nothing.
Okay. Hence, any arguments that we've got of what actually happened is frickin' redundant. Okay?
Yes.
It matters not. We are being fracked and false flagged currently.
Yes.
Expose 9/11 as a false flag. Don't know what happened, but we definitely know it wasn't what we were told happened. Okay. Point one, raised, public awareness campaign, boom, put it out there. Now, suddenly, in fact, the 9/11 truth movement has accomplished a big thing. A big, big thing that has never been accomplished before in human history. Recognition of what a false flag is. And now whenever one happens, people know it. Stop debating what the false flag actually was. Just debate about whether or not there are false flags. And that debates really quickly. Yes, there are. Okay, sweet as. Now we know what to do when we're hit up next time. Don't fall in line with the legislation that they put up over the false flag that they put in. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. A very special guest, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. We wanted to talk about guerrilla media, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we should.
I'm really feeling nervous about this. I don't normally feel nervous about anything. Well, I started guerrilla media like years ago, like back in, 2007, I think. After I'd been on the streets for a year or two with my camera, I realized that there's so many activists out there who don't have their own website, and so many activists out there who do have their own website but don't have no money and don't have no network to support them, don't have any radio show hosts or filmmakers interviewing them and putting their content up online for them. So I decided, nobody else is doing it, so I'll do it for them all. That was kind of the progenitor of this idea to create an independent network that doesn't employ anybody, doesn't control anybody, encourages everybody to be completely independent and just follow some very simple ground rules. Namely, don't engage in scumbaggery, in a nutshell. Later we expanded that to 20 principles. Do you have those 20 principles up on your computer there, Suzanne? Maybe we should read them out.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're up on the website on realguerrillamedia.com in the About Us section on the right-hand side. You click on More and it drops down and it's on the About Us. And it just basically says, put out good sourced information. If you make a mistake,
hold on. Let me see. I've got them written in down here. Okay, so there's 20 rules that we came up with. All right, so everybody, listen up. These are the 20 rules of guerrilla media. If you want to be part of this network, and you're a journalist already or whatever, send us an email through the website. That's at realguerrillamedia.com. Realguerrillamedia.com. Okay, so here's the rules here. If you want to be part of this and get some free exposure for your works, we've also got a donate page which we're going to put down the names and coordinates of everybody who's contributing, so you can donate specifically to them. So there's a revenue source for journalists who are struggling at all times. And trust me, if you're a journalist and you're not struggling, then you must be working for the opposition and you're a scumbag. Anyway. Number one, have fun.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, my God. Look, the stuff that we deal with every day is serious enough without trying to make it fun. It's just that simple. You go freaking crazy if you take it all too seriously, especially if you take yourself too seriously. Number two, always fact check, provide source links to certify, that the article is true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time of publishing. Number three, if an error or critical omission is reported, you have to publicly retract and issue corrections when necessary. Number four, always remain in touch with your audience, contactable by email or website contact form. Number five, encourage constructive criticism from the audience as well as fellow journalists. Number six, practice good interpersonal communication. Number seven, defend against attacks using the phalanx principle, which is an impenetrable wall of shields protecting the person next to you, or the formation falls apart. Number eight, admit when you're wrong and apologize to your audience publicly when necessary. Number nine, agree to maintain high ethical standards with spontaneity during broadcasts. Number 10, agree to share your ideas openly with audiences and colleagues. 11, be transparent, avoid secrecy and covert activity between ourselves and the audience. Number 12, display the network logo on your published work and or posts to signify they've abided by these core principles of guerrilla media. Number 13, mutually respect each other and treat your audience members with the same level of respect. Number 14, be truthful at all times, as lying is the ultimate crime in journalism. We agree to go before a leadership council, a panel of journalists assembled, to act as guardians, liaisons, and leaders of our members for judgment, and if found guilty, punishment or banishment from guerrilla media, so that you won't be able to get any promotion out of it anymore. Number 15, the leadership council is assembled to ensure truth, peace, and justice for all. We've got myself, Suzanne Posel, hopefully Danny Romero from American Freedom Radio, and we've got a number of really high quality people, salt of the earth type people who have never screwed anybody over to get on this leadership council, so that if there's anybody who's a part of guerrilla media that has acted in some way without just cause or in some form of scumbaggery, you have a council that is, you know, pretty much squeaky clean to pass judgment in an open, honest, and transparent manner. Infiltrators will be identified. This is number 16. Infiltrators will be identified and go before the leadership council for immediate expulsion. Number 17, abide by the KISS principle, which is keep it seriously simple. Number 18, no scumbaggery, meaning dishonesty, physical harm inflicted on others, or theft or damage to private property that includes intellectual property. Number 19, we do not start fights, we finish them. And number 20, you are expected to create your own income and support yourself, and only ask for financial help if no other option is available in order to ensure your financial independence. Because this is what I also don't like about most media outlets, is that if you want to say something that media outlet doesn't want you to say, and your income is threatened as a result, you just don't say it, do you?
Right.
Whereas with guerrilla media, we want people to say whatever they want and be completely financially independent, so that guerrilla media can never boss them around and tell them what they can and can't report. It's a mechanism to ensure that interference is minimized, if not eliminated completely. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Those are the principles. If you are listening to this broadcast and you're a journalist of some description and you want in on this, what we're going to do is just pop you up on the website, have a direct feed to your site so that people will go directly to it. The idea is really so we can provide a central hub so that credible people who want credible information, rather, could just go to the one website and they'll have a massive array of different people who are all vetted that they can trust and go to their independent websites. Okay? We don't really want people to be hanging around the guerrilla media website for too long. We want them to see it, grab an article that they want, and then go to the source. That's really all it's about.
Yes, and we want journalists, we want filmmakers, we want artists, we want musicians, we want radio hosts, you know, every avenue of information, whether it's, you know, tactile or otherwise, we want you to come in, you know. Right now, you can email me at admin@occupycorporatism.com, and we're setting up an invitation email for you. We're also setting up a sort of page so you can fill in all the information about you, a bio, and provide a picture, links to your websites, and ways that people can get a hold of you, and any way that you advertise what you're doing on the internet or otherwise. Also, an events page for activists, so that people can actually go to your event and participate and join in, because we want people to get out from under their, you know, from behind their respective place and go and actually do something. We're interested in changing this world and not just sourcing information. Information is important, but what are we going to do with it once we know? That's where we're going. We want to take that next step and actually affect some change in our world, in our community, in our local community, and our global community, so that we can change what's going on and stop what's going on.
Yeah. And it basically works the direct opposite way to all current media organizations. All current media organizations are based on centralizing. We're based on decentralizing, so that there's no central office. Okay. What I would like to do is be able to train people about why they don't need guerrilla media at guerrilla media. You know what I'm saying? Because If you are dependent in any way, shape, or form on your organization, it corrupts your thinking because you become attached and emotional about it. You don't have the ability to just go, you know what, I really don't agree with this anymore. I'm getting the frack out of here.
I call branded loyalty. There's a mindset when we're in the mainstream. We look up to the anchors. We look up to the musicians. We look up to the actors and the actresses, and we think that we know them and we emulate them. And then once they have us with this branded loyalty, we stop questioning the information that we're getting, and we just go along with it. And we need to stop that. We need to always have an open mind. We need to always question everything that's coming to us. Like Bill Cooper said, you know, research everything. And unless you know it for a fact for yourself, it's just speculatory.
Yeah, yeah. And be aware of personality cults. That's all I'll say, man. It's so dangerous. And I think it's like, if you trust a source because this person's got a name or whatever, and they're big and they're famous, etc., and you haven't checked out the research documents, you haven't checked out what this person's background is and things of that nature, they could be leading you down a garden path for all you know.
Right. Everybody, you know, a lot of people when they get, like, especially in radio and television, and where they're out in the open and they're talking and their face is out there all the time, there's this stardom. There's this that circles around them, and they make themselves out to be bigger than they are. Mm-hmm. And all of us are regular people. You know, you and I and everyone else, we're all regular people. But, you know, these people make themselves out to be these humongous things. If they were a waiter, they tell you that they own the restaurant. You know, if they were a regular salesperson, they tell you that they're an executive. You know,
yeah.
So you have to, you know, everyone's a regular person. We're all trying to change our world. We have to be mindful of the people that are just telling us, you know, like some outlets I won't mention, but you'll know when I'm talking about it, you know, that we have to just keep disseminating information and the world will change. That's not enough. Obviously, that's not enough because we live in a digital information age and all information is accessible at any moment. So and nothing's changing. So obviously, disseminating information is not enough. We have to actually act upon the information that we have.
Yeah, indeed. And the difficulty with being in these positions like we are with audiences and what have you, just remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this, you don't know who I am. You don't know who Suzanne really is. You haven't come around to her house and had a meal and hung out with us. When you do, you'll find out that we're really real people and we're very nice and friendly and cool and all those good things. But you don't know that until you've done it, really. And what happens is it's a two-way door. On the one hand, you can manufacture a relationship that doesn't really exist with somebody that you're listening to every day, and you develop this idea of somebody, which again is just an abstraction. You've just really made it up in your own head, and people base their loyalties and they put everything into that basket with that person. And once they find out, in some cases, that person's a scumbag, you're the one who's put them up on that pedestal. Okay, and guess who gets crushed when the pedestal gets knocked over? You, the idiot who put them up there. And I must say, I'm guilty of this. I have admired so many people in this movement who have gone on to disappoint the frack out of me and made me really have to take a look at myself. And I was thinking about this yesterday, I think. Yes, I know who I am. Yes, I know that I'm a good person and what have you. However, this microphone is not in control of me. I'm in control of this microphone. And that's what a lot of radio show hosts forget. They think that this microphone turns them into a better person for some reason. Hell no, it does not. It's merely an extension. It's merely a tool. No more than a firearm makes you a better man if you know how to shoot it. You simply know how to use a tool. It doesn't have any bearing on your personality or your abilities. Those are all you. And if you get drafted into the cult of celebrity, if you believe your own BS, you become very, very dangerous to people. And I want to stress that to everybody that's ever listened to this show. Don't think that you have a relationship with me just because you've heard a few of these things that I've said over this microphone, or with anybody for that matter, because it is dangerous to do so.
Yes, it is very dangerous to do so. I had the same situation. Most of the people that I got to know from last year when I came out with my website. Oh, I love Bob Marley.
It's also dangerous to talk over the breaks, isn't it? We'll be right back after this one, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. The lovely, sensual Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com was my guest. Back in a minute.
There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back. Ooh, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Kind of a little bit out of breath. running around. There's a lot of timing issues that happened here, and I don't know if people understand what's entailed with doing this kind of work. Many people in this line of work complain about how time-consuming it really is. And for me, I make so much work that really does need to be there. But I get it done a lot quicker than most people can. And it's part of what I do and have done my entire life, is I just take what everybody else is doing and do it my own way, in my own time. And it occurs to me, at least, that technology is the thing that is really freeing us. It ain't our ideas. It ain't the information. It's the technology that's actually given us access to said ideas and said information that is really valuable. Speaking of which, Kevin Caldwell of AmericanFreedomRadio.com, he's doing some work on their website at the moment. He badly needs some new tech. He's got all the skills that you could ever conceive of with a computer technician, but he ain't got a decent computer. His one's a piece of crap. I don't mind saying so. If there is anybody out there who is capable of supporting American Freedom Radio in such a way as to provide a computer or even a raft of computer parts, this guy can build anything out of it. He's like the MacGyver of computers. Okay? Give him a couple of circuit boards with some paper clips and rubber bands. He'll get it working. So please email AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com, keyword Kevin, if you have a computer part to donate or any old computer, a case, something that's working really, so that he has the ability to really help out American Freedom Radio. He contacted me. I put him on to Danny at AFR, and now he's doing a whole bunch of stuff for them. In the background, things that have needed to happen for years with the network that, you know, the Romeros just don't have time to. It's really laborious running a radio network, far more laborious than being a host ever could be. There's an awful lot of background politics as well. And Danny never talks about the background politics. He never comes on air. And, you know, there's good reason for that. It's because, well, basically, you can put your foot in it. and more to the point, it's a lot easier if you don't have to deal with everybody's crap, really. And I've tried to follow that principle to a degree and not talk about the people that I have issues with in the truth movement or anything like that. I just want to keep moving forward and getting things done again. The way I would like them to be done. Because when you spend all your time attacking the people you don't like or addressing your opponents, people who are insulting you or whatever, it gets you right off your game. And they've won by default. Suzanne Posel is my guest.
Absolutely. I don't talk to my trolls. I thank them every day because they drive traffic to my website, and then people get the information that I'm bringing, and then I get tons of emails saying, I thought you were a douchebag, but you're not. Thank you. So it's wonderful.
And there you have it.
Yeah.
You need enemies in this movement. Really, your enemies are what actually makes you popular.
They keep you honest, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I made a point when I started this to only cover stories that I thought that I could evidence. You know, that there's a lot of information out there, and a lot of things are sensational, and it makes for good radio, and it makes for good commentary. But I don't think that it does any good. So there's a lot of stuff I don't cover on my website. Now, with my radio show, that's different. You know, I could talk about anything and talk about my opinion, but I think when you go to a news source, that you shouldn't hear a bunch of opinion or a bunch of speculation or half-truths. I think we have enough of that out there. So I made it a point when I started to not do that. And so I don't. So there's a lot of stuff, you know, I won't talk about, but it's because it's not... It may not be true, or if it is true, we don't know what's true about it.
All right. Now, on that note, we mentioned Kevin before, and he's actually called in. Kevin, you're on the air. Kevin, you're on the air.
Holy cow. I'm afraid of being on the air.
It's too late.
Working in the background is my specialty, and okay, I've got stage fright. Well, no, not really. Suzanne, it's very good to meet up with you. I'm glad you're on the air with Vinny today.
Oh, thank you. It's very nice to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm very much an admirer of your show. You're doing great work, and believe me, I'm listening to AFR as much as I can, and getting to know all of the new things that are happening with the network. This is very exciting stuff that we've got going on right now.
Yeah, we're one of the few that's really focused on getting as much quality information with as many quality hosts as possible. I'm very happy that Danny asked me to come along. I'm honored.
Yeah. Danny, absolutely, is somebody that I've been getting to know these past few weeks. I knew that the situation was pregnant, you know, for many months here, and I knew that sooner or later I was going to come to American Freedom Radio and I was going to help you guys out. And I am really grateful that I did, because these last few weeks I've been setting up a social networking situation which is second to none. I think that in time we are going to have a website and a social networking system and a research system that is going to be absolutely state-of-the-art as far as the internet is concerned. Not to name too many names here, but I do think that in very short order, planet.infowars.com is going to be put to shame. And I
well,
don't
he jumped the
lightly.
Shark when he went on Piers Morgan.
Well, I jumped the shark by just saying what I said. I did that actually quite reluctantly, okay? But I do have to say that we've got a considerable lineup here of social networking muscle. And this project is turning into what's basically the mother of all social networks. Now, I did not want to steal the show or take over the show, but I had a bunch of stuff that I absolutely needed to say. And what I'm hoping I can do here is just quietly make a few points and then get out of your guys' way. But you said so many good things.
We've got about 2 minutes, Kevin, so you best make it snappy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna hit it, and I'm hopefully gonna be able to step out of your way here. The main thing, we have an email address here, fundraiser@AmericanFreedomRadio.com. That's point number one. Okay. Point number two, we're primarily looking for donations of computer parts at the immediate moment, okay? Basically, what I'm doing is I'm running a LAN here, a local area network, okay, where we are modeling a lot of the software technology, okay, and I need everything that I can work with, okay? Another thing that's important, point three, is we need volunteer time more than anything else. What we need is we need people who are familiar with internet technologies in some form or another, okay? I'm going to be evaluating people according to their social networking profile, okay? You can let me know what your expertise is, and I want to talk to you, but this is going to be strictly sub rosa for the longest time, okay? We keep things quiet around here. We work on things very slowly. There's a Zen proverb, okay? Absolutely one of my favorite sayings, okay? The fruit takes a long time to ripen, but it falls suddenly, okay? I want you to repeat that to yourself, okay? That's the most important proverb I can think of. It always has been a guiding light to my life, and I think if you think about it, it will become a guiding light to yours. And then finally, okay, this is another important point that we really must keep in mind. What Vinny said about the pedestal is very important. Okay, you guys, don't look to anybody else. Be your own hero, okay? Suzanne, Vinny, they're great people. Okay, Danny Romero, great person. But let's knock the BS out of the way. Quit worshiping other people. Be your own hero. What we want is we want the Federation.
Yeah, exactly. The Confederation, the Articles of Allegiance, and the Federalist Papers and all that jazz. Yeah, all right. Kevin, thank you very much for calling in. And what was it? fundraiser@AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We are going to hopefully be running a marathon Now, I don't know if anybody out there has been listening to American Freedom Radio for a long time, but man, we have had some shockingly massive, freakingly awesome guests. And we want to have a marathon where it is A-list guest after A-list guest for a full, like, 48 hours over a weekend or something like that. If you'd be keen to help out with that, we're going to be running a money nook. Like a money nook, but a money nook. And going to get some money, and we're going to take American Freedom Radio to the next level. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. Alert the masses. Back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. And with any luck, I might be extending it to 3 hours. Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. Because you know what I've figured out, Suzanne?
What?
Is that it's just not enough time. There is so much to talk about. So many people to talk to. So much news. And also, I've been cognizant of the fact that I've always got guests, which means I can't take callers, you know. A lot of the time, I mean, sometimes I take callers with a guest, but most of the time, nah, just want to get to know the guest and things like that, a nice little relaxed environment. And sometimes when callers call in, they like go off and on tangents or off topic or something like that. I want to have a space for that, but I really like to have a good 2 hours of interviews a day kind of thing, if you know what I mean, whether it's with two people or one person or whatever.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad that Vinny gave me that second hour so that I can do that. I'm like you. I like to have conversations with people. It's kind of why I'm doing this. I talk for a living.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's called the gift of the gab, as it were. Speaking of the gift of the gab, I think Kevin's still on the line there. He hasn't hung up. Kevin, do you have something more to say, do you?
More to say, have you?
Well, actually, I do. I wanted to ask you guys, what sorts of things have happened to you since you've become involved? And by being involved, I'm not necessarily saying since you've gotten your show, but since you started to take the plunge and start doing the truth movement more as a full-time thing. Have you noticed that there was sort of a personal quickening for you? And not just in terms of what was going on inside your own headspace, but in terms of what was going on in your social life. People suddenly trying to get a hold of you, your contacts folder suddenly exploding. You know, this, and by exploding, of course, I mean many rapid additions in succession.
In a word, everything. Everything's changed. I'm not the same person I was. I don't know the same person, people I did. I don't do the same things I did. There's an old saying that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And what I've done is gone from working really hard, being very successful, and in order to make a bit of money just to survive so that I can party on the weekends and not being terribly satisfied with it, to working really hard, being very successful at what I'm doing, getting a decent amount of support from the listeners. And oh, my God, it's brought me to tears a number of times. Just how grateful I am for the support that I receive from my listeners, and that's no joke. I'm not making that that Shiite Muslim up. And I'm
the
working
Shiite
harder.
The,
than,
yeah.
I'm working harder than I've ever worked.
For mispronouncing their name.
Sorry, what?
I said the Shiite community forgives you for mispronouncing their name, and they know that you will never ever do it again. Don't worry.
Yeah. I don't think they'll give me any Shiite about it. The other element is socializing has become very radically different. Instead of being stuck in a conversation with people who are talking about nothing, I am never in that situation anymore. I'm always talking about something of consequence, of importance, of relevance. And it's been really quite wonderful to not have to put up with people's BS anymore. And instead, there's all new measures of BS that come in. You know, people who attack you with all caps letters as if somehow that makes you more authoritative in the points and analysis of what you protrude. But it's same old, really. It's just a job. You know, it's a fun job, but it requires a lot of work and there's a lot of ins and outs, and I still have much to learn. Suzanne, what about you?
Yeah, I just wanted to write some articles, and then all of a sudden people wanted to repost me, and people that I admired, so I was honored. And then people wanted me to talk to them, and I was nervous. I mean, if my first radio was on Joyce Riley, the Power Hour, and I had like 17,000 pages of notes, and it was horrible. I tanked, but then more people wanted to talk to me. I was shocked. And now I don't even think about it. And I get to talk to people that I want to talk to, and I get to learn things, and I get to grow every single day. That is the most awesome thing. It like Vinny was saying, it's not like, you know, oh, did you see that movie? That movie was cool. And did you hear that song? It's about, what are we doing in philosophical and what are we doing to change our world and how can we, and did this work? No, does that, there's so many different things that I get to talk to with people that I think are brilliant and people I think are not brilliant. But the point is that I'm having actual real communication, as opposed to before I was just, worried whether or not my handbag matched my shoes. And I realize how stupid that life was before, and I'm absolutely thrilled that I get to do this. You know, for
yes, it's sort of like you know, before you started doing this, you know, there may have been a time where you were still socializing with the rest of the normals out there in the world,
and the muggles.
You would occasionally
muggles.
Did you say something, Vinny?
Yeah. The muggles.
I think I've heard that word before. I don't even want to talk about the context, but I've heard that word before. Thank God in this new era of marginal voice communication, I couldn't quite make it out.
We were talking about the muggles. You know, you talked about the normal people, and I referred to them as the muggles.
Yeah, okay. You know, that word actually has a a pedigree. That's what I was going to say. That first syllable was tripping me up there for a moment. The first time I heard the word muggle, it was from an R. Crumb cartoon. From a long time ago. Oh, this is a counterculture touchstone from what, you know, 40 years ago. I don't suppose anybody knows anything about underground comics, but R. Crumb's a pretty famous figure in the world of underground comics. And I think some of that attitude is actually returning. I mean, if you know anything about this sort of stuff, it becomes fascinating. The history of various social protest movements and various countercultures. There's not one, I wouldn't say, but there's a whole closely related family, and it sort of seesaws back and forth across the left-right divide. Just in America alone, the history of these movements is quite fascinating. But one thing that I have noticed, getting back to what I had talked about, was that this whole culture of become your own authority figure and start doing your own research and do your own activism and don't look to other people for heroes, that's always been in these various countercultural movements, but it's unprecedented how strong it's been. With the current truth movement now, we're actually on our, we're coming into our own in a way that is completely without historical precedent. You know, a few years ago when the internet was becoming popular, there was a famous book by Glenn Reynolds called An Army of Davids. Okay, and, you know, a lot of this was, you know, well-known concepts, you know, about the internet and Ray Kurzweil's singularity and a few other things. But I think that there actually is something that is going to leapfrog that whole Army of Davids concept, is you know, that everyone is becoming his own one man movement. And what we're starting to do now is these one man movements are federating with other movements. And this goes back to what I was saying about this computer network that is now being built and the fundraiser that American Freedom Radio has going on. And you can send your thoughts, your identification credentials, your donations to fundraiser at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And yes, we do have a marathon coming up.
Yeah, it's gonna be big. And what you're talking about there about the one man army, mate. See me when I go to a protest. I have a giant frickin' megaphone. In fact, for those that are listening to the webcam, I'll show you it. It's huge. It's like 100 watts. It's like as big as my frickin' torso. There's only half a dozen of these massive megaphones in the country. Okay. Activists bought 3 of them, the military has 2, and the police have 1. And they are now illegal to sell in this country. They are 100-watt megaphones, okay? The little ones that you see with people carrying around, one like this little one that I'm holding here, this is a 15-watt, okay? And that's like,
I'm going to expose scumbaggery.
And imagine that. Nearly 10 times as loud, okay? You can literally lay down a barrage of sound that can actually hurt people, okay? I've got that, and I've got a GoPro camera. Let me see if I can show that here. So it's just this little one like that. It's the case here. And that's mounted on a shoulder mount, so that's facing back at me, so it's recording at all times. I've also got another camera that's on a tripod. I got a vehicle. I got banners. I got the whole works, man. I am literally a one man protest. I can technology, man. Seriously.
Yeah. Absolutely. Seriously. You've got a bunch of people at the protest that want to say something, but they're afraid to stand up, and all eyes are on Vinny because you've actually got the bullhorn.
Yeah, and it occurs to me, right, that I'm actually much more effective just by myself than a group of communist protesters. Like there was this protest outside the New Zealand Army headquarters in Auckland once. Over the New Zealand Army going over and supporting the war in Afghanistan, okay? And you know, I can just picture it now. They were outside screaming, blood, blood, blood on your hands, blood, blood, blood on your hands. Me and my friend Tony Bright turn up after they've all left, have a big banner up there, and we record what we're saying, and we point this 100-watt megaphone at the thing. We talk about all the drug running that's going on with the CIA. We talk about the endemic corruption in New Zealand that is actually winding up sending our troops over there and that kind of thing. And we get hits on YouTube, and those other people didn't even bother filming it. And they didn't even bother passing on any freaking information. They didn't have no leaflets. They didn't have no banners, okay? And there's a whole bunch of them. And they accomplished bugger all. And a couple people by ourselves speaking the truth with a little bit of tech and some savvy. managed to accomplish a hell of a lot more. Right? You don't need a cast of thousands, ladies and gentlemen. You don't need to go ask people for help. You don't need to ask people to join you. You don't need any support whatsoever. Bring yourself. Bring your gear. And I can guarantee you, you'll be more effective than anybody else who tries to organize a whole bunch of mindless morons to support whatever cause you got going, even if it means something. It's, of course, very nice to have a whole bunch of people there who are onto it and joining you in. Like, we've done chemtrail protests here where we've had a dozen or so people turn up, you know, not a large protest by any measure, but because we had this massive technology and we had a whole bunch of really nice, well-done banners, it's a heck of a lot more effective. You know, I don't know why people think you need so many masses. Maybe it's because people are inherently collectivist and they think that you need huge amounts of people and huge amounts of help in order to accomplish anything great. Look, history says different. It's always been
That's
one person.
That's absolutely correct. The collectivist ethos has poisoned everything. We've had that for hundreds of years, actually. It predates, you know, the modern Bavarian Illuminati by at least 100 years.
Yeah. We're still being told that. Yeah. We're being told that if we don't have a group of people, you know, we have to wake everybody up. We have to do this. We have to do that. But like you guys are saying, history shows that one person, every single time, one person is the change. And then whatever happens after that, whatever groups form after that one person, Gandhi was only one person. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, what's very interesting about it is it's oftentimes simply the idea of the individual is probably the most important thing at all. I mean, we talk about one person, you know, like Gandhi. Sometimes we can simply be inspired simply by a mythical figure. I'm not sure if everybody's familiar with the vignette about I Am Spartacus. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Adam Weishaupt's code name actually was Spartacus. And I think people should, you know, if you have a live internet connection right now, go to your favorite search engine like ixquick.com or startpage.com. And what I want for you to do is go look up the phrase, I am Spartacus, and think about that for a little while. What happens when everybody stands up and starts saying, I am Spartacus, I am Spartacus? Would you just sit back and say, well, you know, Don't pay any attention to these people. They're just on an ego trip. I don't know if that's correct at all, actually. But to have the bravery to stand up and say, I am Spartacus. Imagine what it would be like if the policemen suddenly realized how eclipsed they were. They thought they had the power because they had the uniform on. And suddenly you've got all these people saying, I am Spartacus, I am Spartacus. And in fact, that's their power getting trashed right in front of them.
You know, it occurs to me as well that anybody who thinks that they've got power over other people is an inherently bad person, you know? I don't know about you, but I think power comes from the consent of the governed, or at least it frickin' should. And anybody who wants to have power over the people that they're governing without their permission is a scumbag, engaging in scumbaggery, and they should be cast off their pedestal. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastonshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know
Welcome
about
back.
The Bilderberg and New World Order. What you know about the real floor.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. By the way, there are archives of this show. If you have heard a broadcast and you're like, this one's pretty average, go look for another one, for frack's sake. They're all archived up there. And when we get guests on, this is another cool part about the Vinnie Eastwood Show archives, is when I get guests on with webcam, I usually make them laugh at some point during a broadcast, and I take snapshots of them laughing and then use that as part of the archive. So you'll look through there and you'll have a look through all these people who have, you know, changed their lives and gone through huge quantities of suffering and exposed shockingly large amounts of scumbaggery and been demonized in the media or whatever, laughing their asses off. It's awesome. And I don't think anybody else is really doing that like I am. And if they are, show yourself.
Show yourself.
Well, no one winning when police start stripping themselves naked in front of crowds that they're trying to police.
Yeah. See, I would
That'll
actually
happen
be...
too.
I would probably be more afraid of a naked cop, I think.
They suddenly realize that everyone's more afraid of them with their clothes on.
I mean, especially if his nightstick was really hard. You know, I'd be afraid of being pepper sprayed in my face. Wait, can we do that under FCC regulations? Is this a family show?
Is that your nightstick, or are you just happy to see me?
I think this is now an R-rated broadcast.
See, in New Zealand, the cops actually have extended...
The cop has decided he doesn't need his uniform anymore.
Yeah.
Vinny, I'm telling you, you don't know who you're talking to on this one.
Yeah. I apologize to all the police who have a sensitivity about the size of their batons. In New Zealand, we actually have solved that problem. We've got extendable rods. You know, you just pull them out and they go, and they extend, much like no, I can't mention that under FCC regulations, but you get the idea. And they crack your kneecaps with them, and then you go down on your knees for the police's pleasure as they bind you with fisticuffs. Now, also thinking about this, women love a man in uniform, don't they? And what occurs to me, what was it? Was it this TPPA protest, you know, Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, you know, the basically the NAFTA or GATT for the whole Pacific region, which isn't going to include the United States and going to frack all our countries real badly. And it was just all these cops, you know, just in a big line there, and I'm trying to ask them what's going on and that sort of stuff, and they can't even say anything. And you know what occurred to me? When the police are recruited, there's two tests that they perform on them. One is an aptitude test. And if you perform well on the aptitude test, if your IQ scores are really high, you don't get in. And if you there's a moral aptitude test as well. And if you perform too high on that, you don't get in either. So they weed out people of really good conscience and people of really high intelligence. And it occurred to me, I was dealing with a bunch of real idiots who were scum. Really. That's what really occurred to me when I was looking at all these cops and they wouldn't answer my questions and then these blank looks on their face. My God. I guess the police have managed to weed out really most of the intelligent people in the force to a large degree. And it's not to say that all cops are dumb. I'm just saying that no cop is that bright. You know, you're not allowed to be that bright and be in the police. You're just simply not allowed, okay? And maybe police who are hearing this, you know, they might be really offended, but I'm not sure when this was actually implemented, because I've talked to a lot of retired cops and things like that, sharp as nails. You talk to modern cops, especially the young ones, they're dumb. They're freaking dumb.
I don't think you could do that job and have any sense of morals or any intelligence. You would know that it's wrong, and you would say something.
Yeah. Well, my friend Grace Hayden, she's a 15-year veteran of the New Zealand Police, prosecuting sergeant, actually, going to court all the time. You're now a private investigator at verashore.co.nz. So if you're living in New Zealand and you listen to this broadcast and you've got somebody messing with you, trust me, don't get a lawyer to protect you. Get a private investigator. They're ruthless. You know, they send very scary letters. They send very scary letters indeed. And she said, and I'll never forget this, you know, 15-year prosecuting sergeant, her testimony, the New Zealand police are so corrupt. You will either become corrupt yourself or you will leave. And she left. And I think that applies to pretty much any other police force that you really conceive of. And how could it not be the case? How could it not be? Think about how the police operate. Think about what they do to people all the time. You see him. I heard there was a story the other week. The police slammed to the ground and hogtied a pregnant woman.
These
people are thugs.
They are. Here in the United States, when I wrote this article about it, it took me 2 months to wrap my brain around this. These are all private security firms. They are employees of this security firm. They are hired by the city to perform policing services. And this is not anything close to what we think of when we say police officer. This is no different than some whack and hut, rent-a-cop, or even to the extent of a DynCorp or Blackwater mercenary.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really all they are. They're just simply mercenaries. I mean, look at it this way. What does CEO mean? It means chief executive officer. So you think that when you're talking to a police officer, that he isn't a corporate?
No, he was hired to secure the city in which he is, was hired to secure. He is there to make sure that the interests of the city is taken care of. And if you get in the way, well, you're getting hogtied and sent to jail.
Yeah. I can't say that I hate cops, but... Well, actually, yes, I can. I freaking hate cops. It's just every single time I talk to one, or almost every single time, like it's a rarity that you talk to a nice cop who's not being a douchebag to you. Most of the time, they're just bullying scum who just are rude to you and they boss you around and they push you for no freaking reason. I hate cops, especially like that. And they're all too often. And people wonder why the cops have got a bad reputation. It's because they're bad people. A lot of them. And they give the very small minority of good cops a bad name. Okay? You know, if you're so good at frickin' investigating, Mr. Police Officer, why don't you investigate your own crowd and dole out the psychopaths and things like that? You don't do that, do you? No. Those motherfrackers get promoted. They're the ones with all the extra badges and stuff on their shoulders. They're the ones that shove Occupy protesters with cameras' heads into the bumper of an old Volvo.
Right.
Okay? The more scumbaggery you connote as a police officer, the higher you go. It's just that simple. The whole system is corrupt. If you don't want to be hated as a police officer, why don't you start doing some freaking good for a change? Why don't you stop being a freaking coward? And bowing to these orders and everything that you've been getting. Why don't you arrest corrupt officers, all right, if you don't want people to hate you?
Or if you live in the United States, why don't you join the sheriff's office? Why don't you become a deputy? Why don't you become a real police officer, a real peace officer?
An elected officer, okay,
yes.
Rather than a hired goon.
That's exactly what you are. You go to work, your job is to make sure that the city is taken care of, and then you go home. And everyone in the middle is a casualty. Yep. And you have a quota. You have to write a certain amount of tickets. You have to generate a certain amount of revenue for the city. Otherwise, you get fired. It's a corporation.
Yeah, I had a sales job, and I had a quota.
I used to work retail. You got to sell a certain amount of stuff, otherwise you get fired.
Yeah. Why do you think is any different? What, you got some uniform and a cheap roof and copper badge that you somehow a really nice person who's out there to protect the citizens? It's not even part of your freaking job description, okay? You're not even required to protect people. You're required to harass. You're required to bully. You're required to ticket. You're required to bash. You're required to arrest, and it don't matter who you're doing it to, right? Quit your frickin' job if you still have a conscience. If you haven't quit your job by now, hey, mate, might be too late to save your frickin' soul if you believe in that sort of thing. It just occurs to me that, hey, look, we live in a society where your actions determine your future, I think. I took action. I decided to expose scumbaggery with a megaphone and a camera and a microphone and get into the media like I always really wanted to. I never really wanted to be in the media. I wanted to make movies. But, hey, I have the skill set, So let's just do what's right by frickin' humanity. If you are a police officer and you've got the skill set, if you can spot criminals, if you can see the oppressed, and if you can see those who are struggling, and you go up and you bash them, or you give them a ticket to somebody who's on welfare who just couldn't afford to register their car at that particular moment, and they were going to do it next week, and you give them a $700 phone, fine, you know, you're taking away their family's food money. How dare you, you cruel, sadistic scum. And you know, a whole country full of those people.
A couple of weeks ago, just to see what goes on in my municipal court, I went and sat in the courtroom. And this gentleman, I don't know what's going on with this guy, but this guy had to do some rehab, otherwise he was going to get sent to jail. So he signed up for the rehab. They didn't have any openings until the date after he was to appear in court. So he brought the documentation. The judge sentenced him to 10 days, which means he would miss his opportunity to go into the rehab that he was being, you know, brought forth because he wasn't in the rehab. Where does this make any sense?
Oh, mate, my personal experience, I mean, the guy two people in front of me was a recovering heroin addict. He'd just gone out of rehab, and then he's in court again for stealing a jar of Craig's raspberry jam for the value of $4.28. And then he was ordered to pay reparations to the BP service station where he stole it from of $4.28. The person behind him, who was just in front of me, was up for assault, sexual assault, resisting arrest, cultivating cannabis. He got 150 hours community service. I get up, possession of 13 grams of cannabis for sale. I get 300 hours community service.
That's ridiculous.
Explain that stuff to me, man. It doesn't
and
make any sense.
All the money you had to pay in fines and everything else, right?
Oh, man, the lawyer cost a hell of a lot more. I didn't have to pay no money in fines or anything like that because I had to do 300 hours of community service, which took me like 5 months to work off. And traditionally, that's a really, really fast working off of that amount of community service. So it just the whole system's fracked, okay? I don't know how any other way to put it under FCC regulations. The whole system is fracked. And if you're part of it, you're a fracker.
Mm-hmm.
You're poisoning the water, you know? You're destroying your society. Get in a job description that is supposed to help it. How do you think they get you to do it? You know, it's just like, I want to destroy society and I want to join a massive gang. But unfortunately, if I join a gang that's illegal, I know I'll join the cops. They act like a gang. They beat people up. They sell drugs. They rape people all the time. No worries. Right. And everybody tells you, you know, they're the servants of society. They're doing good and everything like that. No, you're a bunch of frickin' criminals hired by the government in frickin' uniform, you scumbag. Okay? Stop deluding yourself. You work for a criminal gang.
Incidentally, there's something very serious here. We're really going to start seeing some interesting things in the next few years because what's going to happen is that some of the things that the cops are tainted with is going to become a liability to the respective departments. And, of course, we know that the New World Order is all about burning their own minions. So what's going to happen is that we're going to see more and more and more of these scumbag moron cops getting hurt, getting burned, getting wasted, getting neutralized, or at the very least, getting defamed, okay? But it ain't going to be all of the people out in the populace that they've hurt and destroyed that are going to be doing all the defaming and all of the wasting and all of the neutralizing. It's going to be their employers because they're the people with the money to make it happen.
Yeah. Well, they're doing that with the veterans here. It's okay.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. They demonize the veterans. They demonize the veterans, and pretty soon they're going to start demonizing the cops. And this is one of the reasons why, even though the cops
Yeah, well look at it this, like this. I think of the cops as kind of like the mafia, you know?
Come on in, we'll treat you as one of our own. We'll make sure that you...
In fact, let me do it with the head on.
And we're going to make sure that you have everything that you need. But if you do anything wrong against the Godfather, we're going to kill you, and we're going to sink you into the bay with some cement shoes. We'll be right back.
Final segment. Welcome back, everybody. Final segment here with Suzanne Posel and, of course, Kevin Caldwell calling in. And he called well for a Caldwell.
Yes.
Yeah, well, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. It was a joke about Montana. What was it? It's a Jamaican joke. You know how Jamaicans call everybody mon? Well, what do you call a Jamaican-themed tanning salon? Montana. No? Okay.
Heralding the wave of Jamaican immigration here. Actually, we do have a large number of Trustafarians.
Trustafarians?
What are those?
Trustafarians.
Are these people who've trusted the government just for far too long?
That's a good one.
Not exactly. Did you know that Ted Turner's got some property here, and a few other people. Well, actually, he may have sold it at this point. I don't know. But
I thought we were all Ted Turner's property.
Well, yeah, that's true as well. That's true as well. But Trustafarians are people, children of privilege who are living off of a trust fund, and a lot of them come to certain watering holes in Montana. They don't associate, you know, as you might expect, they don't associate much with the White Poloi, but they do have a presence here.
Amid the riffraff.
Hidden, of course. There's a very, very firm dividing line. You know, they've got their redoubts up in the trees, and they don't associate much, but they are there.
Okay.
Well, what else are you going to do?
What's that again, Susan?
What else are you going to do when you have all that money?
I wouldn't go to Montana. There's a Patriot contingent here that's kind of hostile to the Ted Turners of the world. But, you know, it's not anything that I would necessarily worry about turning into violence. But you don't want to be in a place where you're not wanted. And what's happening to the globalists, I mean, you see them moving to the Cook Islands and things like this, and there's a reason for that, and a lot of these reasons are becoming coincidental. I think what's happening is that there's a growing awareness of who these people are and what they're doing, and when they go to places like the Cook Islands, it's because the Cook Islands is a place that they can very easily control the security of. In a way that they, you know, we think of places like New York and Chicago as being these gun-free zones where the people who are able to own multiple bodyguards rule. But the fact is that the security that you have in a place like New York City or Chicago is nothing like the security that you have in a place like the Cook Islands. Think about that for a moment. You know, this is sort of like the whole issue that we were discussing with the cops, only writ large. The globalists who have the armored compounds on the islands have got a problem a million times worse than what the poor cops have got. You know, don't feel sorry for them, but they are in an unfortunate situation. The entire world is looking at them, and they don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they prefer to remain anonymous, like activists.
Gee, I wonder where I've heard that before. Wait a second. has anybody been suspicious about Anonymous and what they've been up to?
Let me tell you something. Because I've written a lot of articles about this. And I came to this one conclusion. Now I found proof that they work with the CIA, that they work with the NSA. But if you throw all that aside, look at what happens because of their actions. And because of their actions, we have more Big Brother controls over the internet. We have the cybersecurity executive order, And we have coming to this United States stronger controls than even China or anybody else ever dreamed of imagining. So if their purpose is to keep the free flow of information on the internet, they're doing a really crappy job.
Yeah, same thing with WikiLeaks as well. That they're like, hey, we want all information to be free. And then what happens after they leak a whole bunch of stuff? They shut down the internet's freedom.
Yes. Well, what do you expect? The guy who runs WikiLeaks, his mother married into the family. And the family was an experiment from the CIA with MKUltra.
Yeah, and
exactly. Julian Assange, what a dodgy character he is.
What do you expect? The funny thing is that people don't, this goes back to what we were saying earlier. People don't do the research. They don't realize who they're standing behind. And remember, everything is controlled. If they've got one side, they've got another side. They've already got the built-in conspiracy for you. You don't even have to think anymore. If you need a hero, here's one. We spit one out. Here you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of these cult heroes and these people's champions are basically just a prepackaged sort of a teething ring, you know, or a dummy that a lot of the people that are in the populace who want to get close to the truth movement without really diving in can sort of chew on while they're, you know, cutting their teeth. But, you know, in the end, the longer this goes on, the better our credibility gets and the poorer their credibility is. I think a few years on, Julian Assange is not anything like the trusted figure that he was when he first broke onto the world stage. And people will endorse WikiLeaks in terms of a very general principle. They do want the free flow of information, and it is probably going to come in the form of leaks. But there's no particular reason for anyone to trust a centralized figure. It's the process itself that we enshrine. We know that the process works in terms of a web of trust, people's reputation being constantly checked and rechecked throughout the guerrilla media. And it's the relentless process of all these people piling on, volunteering their time, doing everything in a crowdsourced fashion that is ultimately going to tell the tale. If we have a computer network, and this is how we can raise funds, we can show people that there is a way to fight this infiltration process, and that way is relentless, endless, open crowdsourcing of every new process that comes on board. And the whole idea is be your own hero. Have your own show, start your own blog, start doing stuff on your own, and start asking other people around you to support what you're doing. Have content, to be sure, but make your own honesty and your own credibility what's on the chopping block. It takes a lot of guts. I know you're going to be running into a lot of situations that you didn't think possible. It's going to scare the crap out of you at first, but if you know, just realize, jump on in, the water's fine. You're going to find that your social relationships will change. You're going to see very unusual things happening right before your eyes. If you've got any interest in what's been going on in the world the last few years, you are going to see your social life change when you start doing more and more of your own content and leaving this whole attitude behind of let other people do it for me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If I want a WikiLeak, I'll take one during the break, all right?
You'd be amazed. People say to me, oh my God, Suzanne, you're such a great researcher. Okay, thank you, but I don't do anything that you can't do yourself. Take a company name and Google search and go to their website and read their about us and find out who funds them and just, it takes about 10 minutes. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know, exactly. A lot of people come back at me and they say, well, you know, you make it sound like it's so scary, the New World Order. And I'm like, that's not true. That's not true at all. The New World Order is not scary at all. These guys own so much military technology and hardware that's unbelievable. But in the end, who took them down? A bunch of unemployed people with internet connections.
Yeah, see, mm-hmm. They're not scary. They just want to exterminate everybody. That's what I tell people. You know, that's what I tell people. You know, don't worry. It's just the end of the world. It
it's like the Mayan calendar. It's the end of the world, but you know what? Tomorrow we wake up and everything's fine.
Yeah, yeah, that's what my elders were saying the whole way through. It's like on December 22nd, 2012, I'm going to be getting up and making a cup of tea just like I was on the 21st. What the fuck is going to change? And I don't know. Look, here's the idea. You don't want to be doing your articles and your broadcasts and things of that nature in order to gain an audience. Sure, that's just a result of gaining the audience. What I really want to do is activate the people who get exposed to this kind of thing, okay? You are not very effective as an audience member. You are far more effective as a content producer. Do you understand, yeah, people listening right now? If you were to write one article, one blog that is well-researched, if you were to do one podcast, that would satisfy me more than if you watched all 1,500 of my videos and listened to the last 700 broadcasts that I did. I would actually be more proud of you had you done one thing yourself than followed everything that I'd done by myself. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly. And that's where American Freedom Radio is so important right now. This is one of the reasons why the fundraiser that we have coming up is so important. Okay, what this is going to do is this is going to allow citizen journalists to step forward and start talking about their own experiences. Have you noticed that something is going on these days? Have you noticed that something might be a little tiny bit wrong? Well, you can step forward and talk about your own experiences with an authentic voice. Have you been feeling lonely lately? Has your social life been feeling a little phony to you? Have you been feeling like something is not quite right, even when you're sitting down on the couch watching TV again and again and again, every night, doing the same old thing? Do you not like your job? Well, all you have to do is talk about your experiences. Come forward, start talking with an honest voice, and you will make a difference.
That's right. Start being real, because ultimately that's what people all really strive for. They love the truth, and they love being real. The problem is a whole bunch of people are brainwashed into thinking that the truth and reality is a bad thing, and it's all made up by your perception. That's a big fracking lie. Those people are of no value. They're slaves, and they will probably never survive what's coming. Suzanne,
hey, Suzanne, it was great talking with you guys.
Yes,
thank you,
awesome.
Kevin. All right. See you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Suzanne and Kevin, thank you very much.